We're joined by Carterville Mayor Brad Robinson. Brad, how you been, buddy?
Doing well. Good to talk to you, Tom.
Yeah, I have to admit, yesterday when I get the press release from John A. Logan College seeing hunting and fishing days canceled, that's, you know, it's another one of those little showpieces that Carterville has with its partnership with John A. Logan College. Hated to see that.
Yeah, so did we. But, we're living in a new world for the moment, and I certainly understand why we want to avoid large groups at this point, especially with the upticks that we're seeing, you know, in southern Illinois. It's really starting to hit home now in comparison to the months that we prepared and, you know, saw it happen in other communities, and now we're starting to see it here.
You know, it's interesting because of the impact in Carterville. What was it, a week and a half ago that you were having graduation ceremonies in town? And yeah. Now, you know, you start registration this week. I mean,
yeah, it's different. And in fact, my youngest will be a senior next month, and you know, we're wondering what his senior year is going to be like. And there's just no answers right now.
No, there's not. You know, what's interesting is you were one of the first communities, and you talked about this, that we saw things happen big time other locations. Now we're seeing, you know, some changes, higher case numbers specifically. But we did have a death yesterday, so I don't want to seem as though I'm ignorant of that fact. But, you know, you had a city employee show up positive early on. How did that change how you handled COVID-19 and planning inside your community? Because you had talked to me and said, look, we don't have a lot of redundancy, whether it's street and alley, water, police, whatever the case. We have to be very careful. How did that change your plans and how you handled your response in the community after that early positive test?
Well, it didn't really change. I don't want to sound like we had everything under control, but we had planned for the possibility of having an employee that would test positive. So very early on, we initiated employee screenings. And our public works employees are screened every morning at the fire department. If anybody drives by in the hours between 6 and 7, you'll see folks, our public works staff out there getting screened by the fire department. And they get a little sticker that goes on their shirt that shows everybody that they've been screened. And then our fire department, police department self-screen. They have their own process, because, you know, of their different hours and their rotating shifts. But we had anticipated, because really we don't have a very deep bench as far as our city size, we wanted to be very cautious about the possibility of having COVID, you know, run through a particular department and create a problem where we can't provide essential services. So we were fearful of this in the beginning, and we were very fortunate that the employee very quickly realized they had a symptom that could be left work very quickly, and did everything right. And, you know, that was the only one that we had,
you know,
to date. So we're continuing, and it's difficult the longer this goes on to be as vigilant. You just want to, you know, you just naturally want to be complacent, but we've been staying on it ever since. And especially now as the numbers tick up more in, you know, here close to home, we're trying to stay on top of it so we can continue to provide service.
And service takes money, paying the bills. I've shared this. I know you listen to the program enough. You probably heard me regurgitate this more than once. Paying bills with burger and gas taxes. You pay the, you know, and paying the bills. And so when retail business is so important to you in Carterville, because that's how you pay the bills, and so much else goes to pensions. So how's paying the bills going when it comes to revenue?
Well, revenues are down, but we expected that. I think you and I had talked back at the beginning, and you know, there was really no way to project, but I gave a wide swath. I said, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40%, I would think we would take a hit on sales tax revenue. And so our July receipts, which are actually from the month of April, they were down 24.5% from the month before, and they're down 33.3%. So we're down a third from the same time last year.
That's bad.
Yeah. And my goal, my hope is that this trend doesn't continue through the next few months. You know, as you know, when I think back through April and May, and then in June, people started to acclimate to how do I shop, how do I go and get my necessary things for my household and my groceries. And there was a period of time where we had a little taste of normalcy, and I think, and then as people have acclimated on how to live in this day and time of COVID, I think it's going to reflect as in our sales tax revenues as they start to increase. But that's my goal. But we do have, you know, we have all options on the table as far as how do we respond based on the revenues that we see in the coming months.
All right. Now, here's the question of the day, because you and I have been talking about this in the past, and I've been getting some advice from you and on some subject matter. And when I see 24, now 33.3% in revenue shortage, the cure allotment details, JCAR had the meeting. They agreed not to do anything. The rules weren't as such. I mean, in this allotment, the county of Williamson County gets $868,541. Carterville's proposed amount is $226,727. That's federal government money directly to the municipalities. How important is that money, and how closely are you watching the JCAR decision on the rules for using and spending that money?
Well, we are watching how they're going to allow us to spend it. But at this point, it's my belief we're putting together all of our receipts at this time, and the our ability to start submitting receipts for reimbursement is August 1st. So we're putting those together now. But they sent us a six-line true test on reimbursement eligibility. So if you answer true to all of them, to these, then it would be eligible. So it's, is the expense connected to COVID? Is the expense necessary? Is it not filling a shortfall in revenues? Is the expense not funded through another budget line item, allotment, or allocation? Is the expense not being reimbursed through a different emergency response program? And would the expense not exist without COVID? Or would it be substantially different? So that's the true test that we have to put against every receipt that we look at that we would consider to be, you know, a COVID expense.
There's no business-related line there. There's nothing about area business and supporting them economically.
That at this point, that is correct.
But that's something that if people in JCAR and people in Department of Community Economics, DCEO.
DCEO.
If they were listening right now, what would you tell them you need in the true test to be able to take maximum effort and get maximum effectiveness for this money and help your municipality the most? What would you want changed?
Well, as far as their requirements for reimbursement for us, I understand that, and that's fine. But if the federal government has allocated the difference between what we can get in reimbursement, let us have access to that and help some of our businesses, you know, with their COVID expenses. There have been a lot of grant programs that have been highly publicized, but I think we would be surprised at how much money was available versus how much our local businesses were able to capture. And I think there's a big gap there, and we see anecdotal things from time to time on the news where, a large corporation snagged millions of dollars in federal or state help. And, the guy at the corner shop wasn't able to get anything. So, if that money's been allocated by the federal government, give the local units of government some flexibility in helping some of our businesses stay open. Because at a time when sales tax revenues are down, businesses have their backs against the wall, a team effort approach would really help in keeping those businesses open and keeping revenues coming in so we can provide essential service.
Right, because you can't pay the bills unless the burger shop is open and the gas station's open.
Yep.
Right, and you start thinking about this. Where does you say, well, is it COVID? Well, we lost the business because of COVID. It gave us the money to be able to run the city, and now it's not there.
Yes, and that's going to be that's a question that I have that we're not going to know until these reimbursements get submitted on what they're going to consider a COVID expense.
Yeah.
Versus a revenue loss. So.
Right. But at the same time, you know, you've had it ribbon cuttings and new businesses open in your community.
Yeah, that's true. You know, at the same time, while we're juggling with, you know, revenues are down, at least in this last cycle that's relevant to, you know, that shows us the revenues from the month of April that we received in July. You know, we've had two ribbon cuttings, at Blossom Boutique and Stella Boutique, both downtown. And we have the new Edward Jones Investments being built right now on Municipal Drive across from First Southern Bank. So, you know, we have people are continuing. They have faith in Carterville, in their customers, their business. So it's not all gloom and doom. We're trying to support them in any way we can through connecting them to Enterprise Zone benefits, TIF benefits. But at the same time, there are some positive things going on, and you know, we try to focus on those.